Thank you, Jesus. Okay, praise God. Well, I want to tell you, first of all, thank you so much for that beautiful worship. How many of you know that sometimes it's the sound that comes out of our hearts? It's not necessarily just the words, it's the sound we make. And every time you worship, there's a signature sound that it becomes synergy with what God is doing on the earth. Amen? Come on. And so I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter if you're still singing songs out of the 50s or the 60s. I love hymns. I wish we could get back to hymns again. But I want to tell you that the sound you make is important. And so this morning, I want to speak about a subject that I would say is fresh off the meat hook. It means I haven't preached this but one time back at our own campus. But I felt this morning it was important to just speak about the subject. And this morning I'm speaking about the habitation of God. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your anointing. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you, Lord, that every person sitting here at the sound of my voice is important to you. God, they are valuable to you. They were created in your image. They love you, God. They long, Lord, to hear from heaven. But God, more than that, Lord, we all in this room today, God, long to fulfill our assignment on the earth before you return. God, we want to know our assignment. We want to run in our lane. And God, we want to receive from you today, God, clarity that we can identify with who you are in our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to tell you that also during the service, obviously, there's some people I know that God wants to speak to. And sometimes just be open. If I call your name, get your phone ready so you can record the prophetic word that you may receive. Amen. Come on. So good to have Corey and Tracy back in the house. Amen. Come on. South African friends via Australia. They don't have an accent like mine. Theirs is better. And then Brother Robert. I want to keep you calling you Pastor Robert. I don't know why. But Robert Onyomatu, I've known ever since I arrived on these islands. I want to honor you today. You're a blessing. And all of you that have here. And also, I'm just a pity that Pastor Pat's not here. But Dean, myself, want to thank you for your deep, beautiful generosity toward our ministry. Always, we feel so embraced when we come here. We feel like we're family. We want to just say thank you for Pastor Darren and everybody, Deborah, and then our dear sister, Stacy. I think we're from the same clan, Tommy, McDonald. Can't get better than that. Next time I come, I'll wear my McDonald kilt. And so we are so welcomed, and we just want to say we understand the word Aloha. It's not just a greeting, but it's a beautiful word of love and acceptance on the islands. Amen? So let's get straight in the word. Let's get to Exodus, because how many of you know from the beginning of time, of any known time, how many of you know that time started when? Time never started. God is always being. Amen. Come on. He's always being. He's being perpetually being for eternity. When did time start? We don't understand. But from the beginning of any known information, God has always wanted, now I want you to listen to this, to inhabit his creation and especially his people. And the reason why I'm speaking about this topic this morning is that we speak about reformation, we speak about transformation, we speak about revival, we speak about the purposes of God. But until you understand why you exist, why do you exist? Why did God create you? Why are you living in this millennium, in this time on the earth? It is specifically important for you to understand, because I meet a lot of people that will come to church, they'll put their hands up, they'll sing, they'll do all the stuff they need to do. But when you start speaking to them, many people don't know why they exist. They don't understand their gifting. They don't understand their anointing. And so they just go through life. They'll come to church. They'll do whatever they can. They'll die and go to heaven. But they'll never fulfill anything on earth. It is important that you and I understand why we exist. And so this morning, I want us all to explore this amazing truth, because this is so powerful, and we want to do this together, how God's divine presence, listen, resides both in the physical, natural realm, but his presence actually abides within our hearts and within our minds and within every believer. We are carriers of God. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm a carrier of God. In other words, there is an activity that comes in carrying God. When I was in the world, I was a neo-Nazi. I was a mercenary, lived in South Africa. I was part of the military, but I've joined a militia. And I want to just tell the president I'm busy. And so I then got saved. I got born again. I got spirit-filled. And then from that point, I realized that I was a carrier of God. I became the light of the world, and I became the salt of the earth. And I realized that because God lived on the inside of me, that there was all sorts of spiritual activity going to happen around me. Amen. Come on. If you're born again, the question that you need to ask yourself is what activity of the Spirit of God is actually happening around me? Amen. Come on. A Pharisee came to Jesus at night, Nicodemus, and he said, hey, by the way, what must I do to inherit? And Jesus says, you must be born again. And then Jesus says something very powerful in that chapter. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when you and I start to read that and we come to the conclusion and the revelation that I'm no longer born of flesh, yes, I was to something 60 years ago, but now that I'm born again, I'm now born of the Spirit. That means there's a spiritual activity happening around me. That people, when they come into contact with you, should be saying, wow, I've come into contact with this person, and since I've been in their presence, something's happened to me. Come on, church, that's where we need to go. We need to go and we need to explore these different areas because God, that is God. And so this is so significant. How does this affect and influence your life? It's important for you to understand. You have become the habitation of God. He inhabits the presence, the praises of his people. He inhabits you. So let's go to Leviticus and let's see this model of what God puts in place. He puts some things in place. Leviticus 26, and this is on page 143 in the Amplified Bible. And let's go and study what it says. Let's just look at a couple of verses. It says here in verse 11, it says, this is on page 154. Sorry for those guys that are paging. You're either paging or you're swiping on your phone. Amen. You either got the Bible in your lap or you're looking on your phone. Amen. Is that okay? It says in chapter 26, verse 11, I will set my dwelling in and among you. This is Old Testament, by the way. I will set my dwelling in and among you, and my soul shall not despise or reject or separate itself from you. And I will walk in and with and among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. So we need to start to meditate on that. So let's look at the tabernacle. How many know that Moses received this divine plan to build the tabernacle? And how many of you can tell me what the tabernacle consisted of? Let me tell you, it was built very concisely based on measurements. I mean, you read it, it's amazing. Moses couldn't make a mistake. He wasn't allowed to make a mistake because this represented God on the earth. Amen, come on. So what you had was you had the outer courts. People milled around in the outer courts. Then you had the inner court. People came into the inner court, and in the inner court, there was a brazen, there's places where you could wash your feet, you could wash your hands, you could do all sorts of things, and then you went into the, there was another place. There was a holy place, and then you went into the Holy of Holies. And what happened in the Holy of Holies? People didn't congregate in the Holy of Holies. The priest went into the Holy of Holies. But there, can you imagine all the activity, people slaughtering sheep, sheep being sacrificed, blood. There's all sorts of stuff going on because God was intentional in saying, I want you to come and I want you to have a look of how it works in terms of my presence and what my presence requires. Do you realize that his presence requires something? Every time we come into the presence of God, he requires sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of worship, our flesh being put down. Amen. Come on. I come into his presence with clean hands and a pure heart. And so when I look at that, it's amazing that how God puts us together. It was a profound expression. The tabernacle was a profound expression of God's desire to dwell amongst his people. That's been God's desire from the beginning of time. God wants to dwell amongst you. But then we come to the new covenant and God says, now I don't want to just dwell amongst you. I want to dwell in you. Come on, church. See, come on, we've got to realize that. Let me give you some more insights that relate to the desire that God has to inhabit you. God wants to inhabit you. God doesn't want you just to stand on the outside of everything. God wants you to know that he cares for you, that he loves you. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to be on you. He wants to be around you. So you literally become a walking tabernacle. Come on. And everywhere you go and people come in contact with you, they feed off God's mercy and his grace. They're consistently aware of his goodness and his mercy and his love and his joy. Wherever you go, you bring prophetic word. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. People are getting set free. There's a joy. Come on. There's a peace. God is not a judge sitting there hitting you on the head. He's not just bringing condemnation. He's not just there isolated somewhere and we have to do all these things. We have been given free entrance into the Holy of Holies. By who? By Jesus. Jesus, while he was hanging on the cross, what happened? The veil was rent. Amen, come on. And there's still people today all over the world that are in churches that don't have that revelation that the veil's been rent, that you and I can come straight into the Holy of Holies and we can stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and we can have communion with him any time of the day or night. I'm not bound by some religion that says I have to wear my hair a certain way and I have to look a certain way and I have to do all these different things and we have to light 15 candles and we have to say 60 Hail Marys. No, I'm delivered from that in the name of Jesus. And some of you aren't delivered. Some of you think there's still something you have to do. No, Jesus did it all for you. But religion will tell you, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do that, you can't do this, and you can't get into the Holy of Holies. I'm the only one that can get in there on your behalf. No, every single one of you is a priest and a king before the Lord, and you can go right into the Holy of Holies. You've got to break that stuff off your life. God has made a way for you and I to come into his presence. Stop allowing the devil to keep you from the presence of God. Because I've learned something, even though I've been in ministry this year, we celebrate 33 years of ministry. I can tell you right now, there's times that I don't feel perfect. There's times I don't feel clean. There's times I don't feel holy. There's times I don't feel righteous. But when I get up and I start praising him and I start worshiping him and I start praying in tongues, let me tell you, something goes on the inside and I know I can come right as I am into his presence. And the minute I come into that place of his presence, I realize that I'm pure, that I'm sanctified, that I'm holy, that I'm righteous, that I'm strong, that I'm clean. See, we've got to get this right because otherwise the enemy will just keep you on the backwoods. Just stay in the backwoods of your Christian walk. Never attempt to come into the Holy of Holies. And so many people in church live a life of no joy, no peace, always on the fringes, always full of condemnation because we're so sin conscious. But let me give you some principles and you can write these down. Number one, the tabernacle was a symbol of his presence. And this is so important to understand. The tabernacle was a tangible sign of God's presence. When you walked up towards the tabernacle, you knew God was there. Amen. It was tangible. It showed that God was not distant, but abiding amongst people. Let me just put that into our mindset today. Our wines. How many of you like that word I said yesterday? Mind skin. Your mind skin needs to change. If you want to become a new wine skin, you've got to get a new mind skin so that God can pour the new wine into you. But when you and I woke up this morning, guess what you were? You were seen as God's tabernacle. We just sang that song. I'm a temple of God. Amen? Come on. And so we've got to realize now I'm a tangible, visible tabernacle. God is operating on the inside of me. I don't have to go to a tent of meeting. I am the tent of meeting. Come on, man. Amen. Just say, I'm the tent of meeting. I don't have to go to a tabernacle and kill a sheep. The sheep, Jesus himself, the sacrificial lamb, has already been slaughtered. I am the beneficiary of what happened on the cross. Come on, you ought to get excited about that. In other words, every moment, every micro, nanosecond I'm alive, I'm the tabernacle. So you've got to see that, because unless you see that, the enemy will want you to see something else. Number two, accessibility. Accessible. It was accessible. God says by establishing the tabernacle, God made himself accessible to his people. They could come to the tabernacle to offer sacrifices, seek forgiveness and worship. God wanted closeness with them. In other words, when we take that and we look at the new covenant, let me tell you, you have been given access. And every time we come around the presence of God, the one thing that I pray for all the time, probably 99.9% of my prayers are, God, I want to be in your presence. I want to know your presence. I want to share your presence. I want to know your anointing. I want to know your person. I don't want to do anything without your presence. Because I can tell you right now, there's many people that can get up here and under the gift, they can operate in their gift, but there's no presence. You can prophesy as a gift, but there's no presence in what you prophesy. And if you receive a prophetic word without the presence of God connected to the word of God, it'll amount to a hill of beans. The presence of God. In the presence, there is joy. In the presence of God, there is joy. In the presence of God, there's right. There's all these amazing gifts and miracles happening. So I want his presence. So God says, I'm going to make a way so that you can have access. Come on. Let me ask you a question. If people come and they are in your realm or in your presence, do they have access? Are you a door to the King of Kings, or is your door shut all the time because you have some denominational mindset that it's only for some people? No, you've got to take the door off the hinges and you've got to become an open space so that when people come to you and they meet you, they're meeting Jesus. To say, I am the tabernacle of God. You've got to start to see yourself as a tangible, visible, living tabernacle where people, God, it can come and tabernacle with you, and people are drawn to God because your heart is open. Number three, holiness and purity. Let's go to Hebrews 9 real quick. Hebrews 9. You guys okay? You happy? Three of you are. The rest of you didn't have your cornies this morning or your Wheaties. Hey, you guys eat Wheaties here or you have Spam for breakfast? Man, I love Spam. Thank you, Jesus. But you have to cook that sucker a little bit. Amen. Cook all the fat out of it. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's see what the Bible says. Say holiness and purity. God's desire is that his people, us, would live in a place of purity. There's a purity that's coming on the church. There's a holiness that's coming in us and on us and around us. There's the fear of the Lord is being released into his church again. Amen. Come on. We can't pervert his presence. You know what that means? It means we represent God with such fearless. We are so fearless. There's no fear of God. It's almost like, what's the word? Am I missing the word there? There's a non-existent fear of God. So we come like we want to come, and we just pervert his presence. Come on, church. The world's watching us. Yesterday, I saw perversion march through your city. Unashamedly. I saw pastors, people that said, we are clergy, but we stand for homosexuality. Unashamedly. I saw a bus with little kids. And that's the one thing that just absolutely got me. A bus that said, God loves everybody. Love is love. And little kids sitting on a bus representing the LGBT people. Unashamedly. And out of all the churches in the city, I saw three people with banners that said, God hates homosexuality. Where were you all? Where was the church? Where are you? Where were you? Look around the room. There's probably 60, 70 people here. Where were we? The church was not there. We were not present. Come on, church. We've got to rise up. If you really want to see God touch this nation, then you've got to step up and say, I am a holy habitation. I'm going to become a holy habitation. God, I'm going to get a revelation of what I carry in this season. And I want to tell you, I was appalled by the fact that the police were just ready to pounce on those three people. They were ready. They were standing there ready, looking. If those three people moved out of their way, they would have been on them like a chicken on a June bug. It's appalling that we've so allowed unholiness, perversion to creep into society, and now it's everywhere in the street. It's normal behavior now. Not according to this book. So I pray next year when they come again that the church will have an audience out there. That there won't be just three young guys standing with placards. And they were like wolves around them, people tearing at them. I'm thinking, wow, there should be 1,000 men and women lining these streets with placards to say, not on my watch. Anyway, that was for free. Hebrews 9, let's go there. Hebrews 9, it really stirs me up. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12, it says, but that appointed time came. Let me read from verse 10. For the ceremonies deal only with clean and unclean meats and drinks and different washings, mere external rules and regulations for the body imposed to tide the worshipers over until the time of setting things straight, of reformation of the complete new order when Christ the Messiah shall establish the reality of what these things foreshadow, a better covenant. Then verse 11, he explains it and he says, but that appointed time came when Christ the Messiah appeared as a high priest of better things that have come and are to come. Then through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, that is not part of the material creation. He went once and for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of blood of goats or calves, by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption and everlasting release for us. That is so powerful and so unique. And so I want to just treasure that verse because it spells out what Jesus did. Amen. Come on. So you and I can stand before the King, totally washed, clean, pure. I'm holy as he is holy. I've been made righteous. Amen. Come on. I don't depend on my own righteous self-righteousness. But I've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Come on. My purpose and my future has been secured through Christ. I don't have to wait for a priest to come once a year to kill a cow, to kill a sheep, to kill a dove. No, my priest, Jesus, my high priest, has already done it. Come on, you've got to get that in your spirit. Then the fourth principle is foreshadowing. There was a foreshadowing. Let me take you to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, real quick. In Jesus' name, John chapter 1. I want to tell you, God wants you to know that he is working on your behalf. John chapter 1, verse 14 says something very powerful. And it says, the word Christ became flesh, human, and tabernacled. Say that with me. Tabernacled. Fixed his tent of flesh, lived among us, and we actually saw his glory. We saw his honor. We saw his majesty, such glory as an only begotten son receives from his father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. And so when I read that, this is so powerful, guys, because Jesus came and tabernacled amongst us. The fact that the tabernacle foreshadowed the coming of Jesus. Because the Father said, I need to have relationship with the people that I have created. I need relationship with them. And so they had this tabernacle built, and they had to come there week after week after week after week and do sacrifice for the same sin. It was a messy situation. Hello? And then God came up with this amazing, brilliant thought. I need to send a lamb once and for all. Because otherwise we'd still be killing sheep and cattle and chickens and doves. And God says, no, I want my people once and for all. Say once and for all. Jesus has cleansed you once and for all. Stop trying to get back and trying to get him to get on the cross again. Stop doing that. He's already cleansed you. He set you free. And when I look at this, this is so powerful. The tabernacle also foreshadowed the coming of Jesus. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. In the New Testament, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of God's desire to dwell in us. See, from the beginning of time, God says, I don't want to just dwell amongst you. I want to dwell in you. What an amazing honor. What an amazing privilege. That God, the God of the universe, wants to dwell in you. Wants to dwell right inside of you. He doesn't want you to live in a life of pain and misery and brokenness. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healed. What is your name? Victoria, God wants your heart healed. He wants you to be healed on the inside. All your life, you wanted to be perfect. You want to be the right person at the right time. And yet, there's such a longing in your heart, Victoria, to be loved. There's such a longing in your heart to be accepted and understood. And I want to tell you this morning, you didn't walk in this room by accident. You came here this morning. You may have been with some people, but I'm telling you, God wants to set you on a course of healing and restoration. Even some father wounds that you have, God wants to heal you. There's been a lot of wounding and a lot of wounding, a lot of wounding, and you've become so strong and you've been able to camouflage and cover all that. It's okay, put your arm around her. Somebody just give her some little bit of comfort. Just put your arm around her. It's okay. It's okay. God wants to heal her. She needs to be healed. Nobody, listen to me. Every one of us need affirmation. You go, don't. She needs to be healed. Somebody needs to realize, listen to me. There was something there that she responded to. I can tell you that. So sometimes we think people are so strong because they look strong, they have a tattoo, they look strong. But deep within them, there's a yearning and a desire just to be affirmed. Affirmation, listen to me. A father's affirmation brings healing. And this morning, God wants to affirm her. Come on. And sometimes as men of God, we are not moved by the Spirit, so we're not sensitive enough to pick up the pain. So we just leave people like that. But I'm telling you, the Word of God will never go void. She may leave this, and the reason why she left you, because in her flesh, she felt embarrassed, but I can tell you right now, there's a yearning in the Spirit. Come on, church. And so Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of God's desire to dwell in us.
He wants to dwell in you. No longer an external physical feeling, but an internal understanding of truth. Say internal. Well, there's so many external things today. External, we have the lights, we have the smoke machine, we have all the external. And God says, no, I've brought my Holy Spirit, Corey. I've put my Spirit in you. I've made you my tabernacle because I want you to experience the internal joy. The internal revelation. I carry God. I carry Jesus. I read in scriptures this whole week in John. Jesus says, I'm in the Father and He's in me. And then He says down the track, He says, I'm in the Father. The Father is in me and we are in you. How come we just push that revelation aside? Knowing that God lives on the inside, we just push it aside. That lady, do you work at Long's Drugs? You work at Long's Drugs. What's your name? Barry, I met you yesterday. You helped me at the till. And you gave me a packet for free. And yeah, you are sitting in the meeting. You didn't know who I was, but I knew who you were. See, God knows you. God wants to affirm you. God wants to heal you. God wants to restore everything that the cankerworm is in. I'm so grateful that you are, because I knew yesterday that you were a woman of God. And yeah, you are. And I recognize you didn't even know who I was, but I saw you. Hallelujah. You see, when you go shopping, you got to keep your eyes and your ears open. See, some of you, when you go shopping, it's like you're like on a bombing raid. I need to get that bomb out and leave. But you're not aware of your circumstances. You're not aware of the people working with you. You can ask my wife. Every time we go out to dinner, she says to me, God bless you too. And so every time she goes, we go out to dinner, you know what Dee says to me? She says, keep your eyes on me, because I'm like, hello? Because I've understood I'm a living tabernacle. Christ in me, the hope and glory. I've put on Christ. God lives on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit has come to live on the inside of me. I have the most amazing attributes of God's grace and character on the inside of me. I'm very bold when it comes to certain things, but I'm very soft when it comes to people, because I want to see people healed, touched, delivered, and set free. Are you hearing me? And every one of you sitting in this room today, you are a now tabernacle. You don't have to wait. I hear people say, oh, the best is yet to come. No, the best came. The best came. And you carry the best in you. What are you waiting for? The best is yet to come. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means we're going to wait another 10 years until we get another revelation of something we know nothing of. And yet right now in this season, in this moment of your life, you have all of the kingdom in you. So your best has already come, brother. Everything you need has already come. The healing you need in your body has already manifested. The joy that you've been crying out to God for in terms of your family has already manifested. All you have to do is open your mouth and get into agreement with God and say, God, I thank you that from this moment on, I will become the tabernacle. I'll become a visible, tangible tabernacle for somebody to be able to meet Jesus. Revelation 21. And we're going to land this thing. Just say, I am. No, everybody say it. I am. A holy habitation. I'm a holy habitation. God is attracted to this holy habitation because He has something to do. He had something to do, Tracy, with the fact that He made you holy. God had something to do, Corey, in making you a significant man of God. He had something to do with it. So He said, you know what? I'm not going to just give you a half portion. I'm going to make you a holy habitation. Think about that. What does it actually mean? It means that wherever you go, wherever your foot shall tread, God says, I've given you the land. That's one promise. But wherever you go, there should be a tangible, visible sense of God's presence around you. People should feel it. People would say, Maya, something happened. I've shared this story multiple times. I'm going to share two things that we have experienced in our ministry over a period of 30 years and other things, but I don't have time. So two things. I remember running through the airport in Sydney, in Australia, running through the airport with a dear friend called Colin Tucker. I don't know if you've ever met Colin Tucker, but he speaks about Jesus 99.9% of the time. He doesn't speak about hunting. I'm a hunter. I like to speak about hunting. What did you eat? What did you shoot? What did you eat? What did you shoot? This guy just speaks about Jesus all the time, and I love him. So we're running through Sydney Airport. We're late for a plane. I never like to be late. We ran up to the counter, the Qantas counter, and the woman behind the counter fell over. So I thought she must be charismatic, because that's what the charismatics do. They just fall over. I said to her, are you born again? She said, no, I'm an atheist. Listen, I'm an atheist, but what was it that knocked me off my feet? And you know what the Lord said to me? Why are you surprised? See, all of you carry God. You carry God, brother. You carry God, sister. You carry God. You carry God. You carry God. You carry us. You're infested. Say, I'm infested. Some people are infested with fleas, but you're infested with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on. You're more powerful than COVID. Woo! Second story. Walk into Starbucks. Want my coffee on a Saturday morning. I've got my thongs on, got my short pants on. Sorry, my slops. My slippers. Got my slippers on. I've got my shorts on, my t-shirt. Amen. Come on. In South Africa and Australia, we wear thongs. They call them thongs. You call them slippers, we call them thongs. And mine was blue. And so I walked into Starbucks. There's a guy. Where Robert is sitting, I'm over here. Probably over here somewhere. I'm at the door. I'm looking at coffee early in the morning. That guy's over there. I'm over here. What's this? About what? 10, 12 feet? 15 feet? I'm looking at coffee. That guy, stand up, Robert. That guy that's standing that far away, listen to this, turns around, looks at me and says, why are you standing so close to me? And runs out the store. And you know what the Lord said to me? Why are you surprised? You carry me. You have me on the inside. Me. You're not carrying you, you're carrying me. Why are you surprised by the fact that I want to do exploits through you? Why are you surprised by the fact that God actually wants to heal you, your family, your grandmother, your grandfather? Why are you surprised that when people walk into your house, there's always some type of conflict? Don't you understand that there will be warfare when the enemy's around you? But the enemy has lied to you and said, no, the reason why people get upset with you because you are so bad. And you son, no, there's a conflict in the spiritual realm because the enemy knows what you carry. Walked into a bank, I just wanted some money. Normally you go in and just, you have to show them something to get money. You don't just take the money. So I walked into this bank, I wanted some money, I'm standing in the bank. The next thing, listen to this, the presence of God came in the bank. This wasn't a worship service. We weren't prophesying. I was just waiting in line. I want to get some money. The young lady behind the glass starts to weep. I put my hand through, I mean, not through the glass, but through the little hole in the glass. I'm not that good yet. And so I put my hand through the glass. I said, are you okay? She grabbed my hand and started to sob even louder. I said to her, do you go to church? She says, no. But something happened. In a few minutes ago, I felt something, and she just started to weep, and she said, I don't know what it is. I just feel loved. And all I wanted was some money. Come on, church. That's what you and I carry. We carry that. Come on, you carry the presence of God. And I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord spoke a word to me, Pastor John and Pat. Why don't you come up here, Pat? I want to minister to you and your husband together. And this is what I felt the Lord say. Prophetic word. I just felt somebody needs to just record this prophetic word. I felt the Lord say this morning two things. You have desired with all of your heart to turn this ship around. The Lord says, my son, because you activated and initiated it by my spirit, it's not going to take weeks and weeks and months to turn it around. But I'm going to do a quick work in this house and the houses that are committed to you. For the Lord says, in this season, I'm pulling up the anchor of the past, the anchor of history that this denomination has. God says, I'm pulling up that anchor and I'm changing the anchor once and for all. And this house and every other ministry that's associated with this house will not just see all the activity, but there's no movement because the anchor is still stuck in the mud. God says, I'm removing the anchor so that you can have the momentum that you've cried out for many years. You will see the momentum happen. You will say in your heart, many times you've said, Pastor Pat, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? When are we going to see the generations come? When are we going to see the young people? Because your heart has been aflame for the young people. And God says, now they will come. Now they will come from the east, the south, the east, and the west. They will come from the mainland. They will come from the islands. They will come and sit at your feet because of what I will do here. For the Lord says, son, this ship is not going to take 3, 4, 5 weeks to turn around. God says, watch me do it, for I'm a supernatural God with supernatural insight, and you'll see a quick work. In Jesus' name. But guess what? That word that I spoke to them is not just for them. It's for some of you guys. You pastors that have been laboring in the field, you've been laboring in the field and laboring in the field and laboring in the field, and you are about to see a harvest come in far greater than you ever thought or understood. The harvest is white, and God says, your faithfulness and your zeal and your passion has stirred me, God says, and I will do a work that you would not be able to even understand. For the Lord says, I will bring in the harvest. I'll bring over in the supernatural. I will bring in the things that you waited for. God says, I'll bring in families. I'll bring in the young men and the young women. I'll bring in the married couples. I will bring them in. I will bring them in from the north, the south, the east. God says, do you think I've forgotten the legacy that was planted here all these years ago? The legacy that's in the cornerstone of this organization? Do you think I forgot about it? God says, do you think I've forgotten about the prophetic words that spoke over this 80 years ago? God says, no, not one of my words will return void. I will see every word come to pass, and some of you sitting here will live long enough to see the power of God manifesting in this house. God says, I've not forgotten. I will raise it up. I will resuscitate it. Some of you have thought, no, we'll never see it. Maybe our children. God says, no, my word will come to pass, and the thing that looked like dead bones in the valley will become a great army. There's an anointing on that word. You guys need to, maybe some of you need to take that word and listen to it, write it out, and give it to your church members and say, we're not going back, we're going forward. Because the best that everybody says is yet to come, we've received that. Revelation, let me see what it says here. Let me read from verse 1. We're going to go right down to verse 3. Then I saw a new sky and a new earth, for the former sky and former earth had passed away, vanished, and there was no longer existed any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautiful and adorned for her husband. Then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived a distinct word saying, see, the abode of God is with men. What does the abode mean? The housing, the place that I want to abide in, the abode is with men. Come on, man. The abode is with men. And then it says, let me read that again. Then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words, saying, see, the abode of God is with men, and he will live in camp among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and their God. God will wipe away every tear. And so when I read that, I realize that we have stepped into this new millennium. We've stepped into this new era, and God's presence has moved from a natural structure where his people had to come daily with the lamb to a supernatural structure, which is you.
Hallelujah.
And he brought his lamb. Stop trying to bring your lamb. He's already brought his lamb. He's already done the sacrifice. His son already paid the price. What you and I have to do, and if somebody can play that keyboard, I'll be very happy. Anybody play a keyboard? Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, this morning. I want you to lay hands on your heart this morning. And we're going to pray for that young lady, Victoria. And we're going to pray that we're going to stand in the gap with her. And you need to be very gentle with her, my brother. You need to tell her very gently that God cares for her. God loves her. God has a plan for her life. And everything that she felt this morning, every emotion that she felt, was normal. Because in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And she may have left you because she was overwhelmed, but God says, my love will overwhelm her from this moment on. There will be no condemnation and no fear in her life from this point on. There are times in her life that she can't even sleep through the night. God wants to heal her. There's been times in her life where she's wanted to take her own life. God wants to heal her. And you've got to become the spokesperson today. Amen. Come on. Don't try and lead her to Jesus. Just tell her that God loves her. And some of you sitting here, and I'm telling you, you're going to start to see generational curses broken over your family. Some of you carrying this lady in the blue dress, the man with the blue shirt and the lady with the blue dress. I want to tell you something. There's such a beautiful anointing on you for justice. What is your name? Yes. Denise, you carry such an amazing heart to see people healed, delivered, set free. If you could, you would just bring every stray person home. There's such a love in your heart, but at the same time, you battle many times because people have said you're so strong, you're so sharp, you sow this, you sow that. It's like sometimes you like a sword, and when you draw that sword, nobody wants to be around you. But God is, I'm wanting you to know today that he's caused you, he's put his compassion in all of you. Is that your husband? In your husband. God, I want to tell you, sir, God wants you to know. It's like you have authority. You're like a governor of the earth. I see like wherever you go, you keep on just changing the form of the earth, changing the form of different things. It's like God has given you such ability to go and build where nothing can be built. And I just saw you working with machinery and moving stuff out of the way. And God says, I'm going to show you how to move heavy burdens out of the hearts of men so that you can get into the hearts of people that are yearning to be healed and touched and restored. Some of you, yeah, that guy with a beautiful yellow shirt on, I'm telling you, God's going to give you insight and understanding. And I don't know what you do, but I saw you going to islands around these chains. I saw you going to Molokai. I saw you going to Lanai. I saw you going to far out places around these islands. And I saw people coming back to God because you had a story to tell. What is your name? Nathan the prophet. Why do you think God's given you such a big mouth? But he's given you a heart of gentleness and kindness. And I want to encourage you. Same with this brother over here. What's your name? Yes, you, sir. Junior? Well, I'm going to call you senior from now on. And God says, I've rescued you. You're not like a rescue from a pound. You're a son of God that has been brought in and rescued through his blood, and he's going to heal you and restore everything that the canker worm has eaten. And he's going to give you hope in the morning. He's going to give you hope in the evening. Junior, come on. You've got to rise up in this. Are you born again? Come. Come get born again. Just come. See, I love Jesus doing this. Hold my hand. I love this because you're so tired of being tired. You're such a beautiful man. Such a kind man. And many times you thought, God, how can I ever reconcile your love? How? And many times you felt you're not good enough. But today, I'm telling you, Jesus has said, the door is open. The door is open. So I want you to pray this prayer with me loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross for me. And today, by faith, I receive you. I invite you, Lord Jesus, into my heart, into my mind. I recognize you as my Savior. Lord Jesus, wash me in your precious blood. And from this moment, I turn around and now follow you. Amen. Come on, give him a hand. You know what's just happened? Jesus has washed you. The Bible says those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's exactly what happened. So now you need to get around people that will come and disciple you. Love on you. Read your word. Get in the word. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, Acts. Read. Because I'm going to tell you today, God's setting things in place. And everything that's been fractured in your family, God says, I'm going to bring you into a place of healing and restoration. Amen? God bless you. Precious man, you can give me a hug. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. What is your name? Nico. Is that your family? Your nephew and your sister. Well, sister, what is your name? Let me tell you, the days of weeping is over. The days of weeping, God says, the days of mourning, the days of just saying, God, I'm never seeing anything happen. God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the week. Those days are over. God wants to heal your heart, sister. You born again? Somebody lay hands on her. God wants to heal and touch this family. Restore things back to you. Come on. God wants to restore. You are restorers. God says, I've called you now to be restorers of the breach. Some of you sitting here are going to restore things. You're going to bring things back into alignment. Amen. Come on. Alignment. Bring things back into alignment. I just see God touching you. What is your name, brother? Joel, I saw God healing your physical body today. You've been battling with physical things. Is that correct? And God says, this is your, come out here quickly. Come out, just come out. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you. That young lady over there, are you guys together? My brother, the guy with a white t-shirt on, are you guys together? Come, both of you, just come out here quickly. Just come quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This young person over here, what's your name? Yes, come. Come, just come out here. I need some ushers to help me. Pastor, come help me. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you. That man with the white shirt on, are you together? Come out. Thank you. That lady I met at Long's, come. This is your day. Thank you, Jesus. Come. Just come out, you. Who's that person? Your sister, bring your sister with you. Come, just make a big, move all this out of the way, please. Somebody, Corey, help me. Somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. You know, when I saw you sitting there today, what is your name? Asher and? Asher, are you born again? Have you asked Jesus into your life? Because this is what I saw. I saw music on you. Music. And you've tried to hide it. And God says, no, keep your hand right there. Because that's where, out of the inmost parts
of your belly will flow living water. And from this moment, God's going to release all those amazing creative things that you've cried about and you've wept about and you've dreamed these dreams about writing songs and composing, and you want to play this and you want to record. And God says, you're going to come into that season. You're not just going to feel that God doesn't notice you, that God passes you by. But in this house, God's going to raise up a company of young men and women. They're going to take the streets by storm, and you're one of them. Kui. Hallelujah. Is that your grandson? Praise God. There's a lineage. Come lay hands on him. In Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, stir up, stir up, stir up, stir up the gifts on this young man's life, that he won't just feel helpless and just, God, no, God, I thank you that a fire will come on the inside of him today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know what I saw you becoming? Are you born again? Spirit-filled? Raising the dead? You know what I saw? I saw medical on you. You have a heart and a desire to get into a medical field so you can help people. Even as a little girl growing up, you just wanted to help everybody. And sometimes you feel God doesn't notice you. Same thing as your brother. And God says, today I'm healing you. I'm healing your heart from every father wound. From every wound that came on this passage of life this far, God says, I'm healing you, and I'm going to give you confidence. And you're going to say, this is so good, because you're going to see the realness of God come in your life. And you're going to be able to trust God, because right now it's a big trust issue. But God, is this your granddaughter? Lay hands on her. In Jesus' name, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. She looks so quiet. She looks so quiet. She looks so quiet and so feminine, but she speaks 25,000 words a minute. You speak 3 words a day. She speaks 25,000 a minute. And God says, I want you to realize to stir up the anointing. You're a leader. There's leadership on your life. Hallelujah. So next time they come to church, not round the corner. Sit right in front. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to tell you, while you're working, where you're working, you're actually a minister. You're actually a light. You're actually so full of the life of God. You're generous. And sometimes you think, God, when am I going to see the breakthrough that I've been crying out for my family? When am I going to see breakthrough in this area of my life? And God says, today, you're going to walk in that breakthrough. You're going to walk in the promises of God. You're going to know that God knows you by name. Amen. Come on. He knows every hair on your head. And from this moment, I speak supernatural favor, supernatural blessings, supernatural joy. And even the word that you've had in your spirit for many years, God says, you're going to start to speak words of affirmation. You're going to start to speak words of the prophetic over people's lives as they come in and out of your life. And God says, I've placed you there as a lighthouse. Thank you, Lord. What's your name? Where do you go to church? Wahiwa. Who's your pastor? Stephen. Pastor Stephen. That's playing the piano. Pastor Stephen, you've got to get on him like a chicken on a June bug. You've got to get on him because he's carrying an evangelistic anointing. How many people have you led to Jesus this week? None. And yet you carry 16 nets. You need to put some nets in the water, my brother. And you need to allow God to use you in this season. God wants to use you in the schools. God wants to use you around young people. Amen. Come on. You speak 60,000 words a minute. You have verbal diarrhea. But you've got to get the word out there in the streets. You've got to start to rise up and say, God, I'm not going to allow any more resistance. All the stuff that I've been told as a young boy growing up, God, I cut it off in the name of Jesus. Have you got some oil I can anoint this man with? We're going to anoint you with oil. Look at me, brother. And you are going to get enough oxygen in your body. You're going to get enough oxygen in your heart. Are you on an oxygen machine? Well, God's going to fill your lungs with oxygen. Sleeplessness is going to go. Fear of sleep is going to go. Anxiety is going to go. Your heart is going to start to function. Your body is going to start a function in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I bind every word that was spoken over your life to say you won't live past a certain age. I cut that off in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I was more interested to speak to you than to him. What is your name? Yunchi, born again, love Jesus. You need to write your book. I saw you writing some books, some teachings, things, and God's going to start to show you how to write and how to communicate, because there's so many things you want to communicate about. But sometimes you think, I don't have too much to say. Yes, you do. You've got to encourage her. Every time you see her, you say, have you written yet? Have you written yet? Amen. Come on. You guys carry an amazing anointing to do far greater things in this city than you thought. What is your name? Andrew, you have got to become I feel almost like not an evangelist, like you're out there on the corner, but you've got to go in and you've got to find the people. I saw you going into the universities. I saw you going into colleges. I saw you hanging around groups of young people. I saw people from Korea. I saw people from Japan. I saw people from the Far East being attached and ministered to by you. Amen? Come on. And by you. You have leadership on you. You have strong ability to pray in the Spirit. Very strong. Amen? Do you mind if I touch you? Praise God. So, Father, we just thank you that we had anointed her with this oil. We thank you, Lord, that this woman will take major steps for the kingdom. Lord Jesus, I thank you that she'll be like a wind of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Your pastor, she needs to write. She needs to teach. There's some things on her life that she needs to get stirred up. Amen? Come on. God wants to bring great breakthrough in and through your church. And it's going to be a place where eagles will gather. Doctors will come. Lawyers will come. Young people that are IT specialists will come. Amen? Come on. It's on them. This is what I saw when I saw you. The Lord says, from this moment on, your garden will produce. You have not seen a fresh harvest in a long time. And I felt the Lord say to you, son, it's time to throw the net on the other side. You got to find every opportunity to see God's kingdom come. God wants to restore back to you. Your household will be saved. The family, the genealogy will be brought back to life in Jesus' name. It's even affected your health. And God says, this day you will walk out of this room healed, restored, and strengthened in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that every dollar that's been stolen from you will be returned. Because you've seen a lot of stuff stolen. And God says, I'm going to bring you into a season of double portion, double restitution on your life, restitution on you and in you, in Jesus' name. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this couple. So, Father, we thank you. I want you to lay hands on your heart today. Thank you, Jesus. Micah, is it Micah? Micah, and you've got to start to put your feet deep into the soil of God's kingdom. Amen. You've got to find the disciples that'll disciple you. David sat on the mountaintop, on a hillside, looking after sheep. But he was patient and he was diligent to kill the lion and the bear. And you've been diligent to kill the lion and the bear and a buffalo and a kudu. But God says your time has come for you to step on. Do you know that a yes, just the word yes, brought David before Goliath? And you've got to realize every time you say yes, you're getting closer to destroy the Goliaths in your life. Both of you are going to see great strategic victories in the next couple of months. And like I said on the first night I met you, I saw God giving you your own house. And I didn't know anything that you did. So I want to encourage you today. So all of you, lay your hands on your heart. Everybody, everybody, put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, today by faith, I receive. I want your hand on your heart, not your arm. Every person in this room, your hand on your heart. Lord Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, today by faith, I come into agreement with your word that I am a living tabernacle, that you abide in me and I abide in you. And from this day, because you abide in me, I will manifest your glory. I'll manifest your goodness. I'll manifest your joy. I'll manifest your mercy. I'll manifest everything that you are in me, so that this nation, Hawaii, will become a nation of revival and reformation. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God a big hand.